Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 17. Wow, 17. It must have been 7 weeks. Man, I'm killing it right now. That's like 10 times or something, right? Anyways, welcome to episode 17 of Break the Cycle. Thank you guys so much for sticking around again. We have an awesome show for you today. I don't know what on earth we could be talking about, but let's start off with some sponsors as per the usual. Lorenzotti.coffee for all your delicious Italian coffee needs delivered directly to your door. Bring the taste of Italy home, man. It's good stuff. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Use BTC at checkout to get a 10% discount. Of course, TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend. He is quickly growing. I get more scared every day that he's going to leave me to go help out some way bigger channel than me. But he's amazing. All of your great graphic needs, like this amazing Fuck Around and Find Out hoodie that I'm wearing today. Go to TopLobster.com, use BTC at checkout to get a 10% discount on some of the dopest, freshest gear out there. And of course, AnthemPlanning.com for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. They are doing a job that the government has historically sucked at for probably a much cheaper price. Also executive producers for the show. So make sure that when you do use them for your business that you thank them for helping Break the Cycle become something awesome. Anyways, we have an awesome guest today. I don't know if you guys know this guy, but if you're not following him at Ace_Arkist on Twitter, you're seriously doing yourself a disservice. He's amazing. He's one of the only people that quote tweets every single argument he gets in and does not bother me one bit with it because they're always fun to watch. He's probably John Bolton's fourth biggest enemy, maybe third. He is one of the hosts of the new podcast Slurp Gang that if you're not checking out, you're also missing out. His name is Ace_Arkist. How you doing today, Ace?
Thanks so much for having me on, Joshua. This is great.
Of course, man. I'm stoked. This is like one of those ones that I'm really excited for, and I'm like nervous, and I'm like,
how do I know? Oh, me too.
Really? Well, yeah, I know. I got some other people that said they were nervous when they were coming on, and I'm going, man, do you know I just started this channel like 7 weeks ago, right? Like I just started the show. I'm still like a nobody, yeah. You know? But why don't you tell us a little bit about Slurp Gang. What is Slurp Gang?
Oh, well, Slurp Gang is the schizophrenic delusion that me and a couple of their friends came up with, and we decided to turn into a podcast. And that's what Slurp Gang is. It's just a podcast where me, my co-host, Cotton Arkist on Twitter, and my co-host, Jay, Peaceful_Slave on Twitter, we just sit around and talk about just whatever. It's not really political, although it could be. It could be anything it wants to be in the future. Who knows? But at the moment, it's more focused on, you know, just comedic humor and stuff like that. So if you're into that, you should definitely check that out.
Yeah, I listened to your guys' first interview. It was absolutely wonderful. I'm
gonna, oh, thank you.
Gonna be a big fan for sure. You guys,
oh, thank you. Thank you.
You guys will undoubtedly be getting retweets from me.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely, man. So Top Lobster was asking me to ask you about why is Slurp Gang always ask what they are when it's so obvious? That's what he said. And how do you guys bother crackheads?
Oh, I mean, Slurp Gang just is Slurp Gang, right? It's irreducible. There will be no explanation of what Slurp Gang is beyond just Slurp Gang. If it's not obvious, it needs to be. It just is, right? And what was the second part? How do you bother
a couple of crackheads? I think that's what he asked. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, just give them some more crack.
So I was going to ask you, do you think that Brennan and John Bolton have a dive bar somewhere with a dartboard that has yours and Scott Horton's picture on it that they throw darts at?
Oh, I'm sure they have Scott Horton on there. He's enemy number one, of course. But I don't know, the idea that they're in a dive bar somewhere hanging out is kind of gross to me, but it's probably true.
They're just in there just rubbing their hands together. What's going on in the right. Middle East today, buddy? What can we do today?
That's right. How many children can we kill this time?
Exactly. So I listened to your debate with Kevin Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, yes, my debate.
Your debate was wonderful, yeah. Man. It was actually my first introduction to who would later become the duck on my first episode of Break the Cycle, and man, yes. It was great. And
shout out to El Popo. Yep. He was fantastic.
He is the man. I got to get him back on the show eventually. One of these days when yes. I do, maybe I should just do a whole damn show with him, really. I don't know why.
No, you should.
I should.
You should.
Undoubtedly. If you guys missed that first episode with El Popo back when I had about 5 followers, you should definitely check it out. He is hilarious. But yeah, man, so today was the end of the Derek Chauvin trial. I mean, this is a pretty big thing. We've been going through a year of riots all over the country because of the George Floyd mm-hmm. death. You know, even here in Iowa, we had George Floyd riots and BLM riots and also like protests too. There was some protests, like legitimately peaceful protests here. I actually went and walked one of them with mm-hmm. a couple of my libertarian buddies that lived in Iowa, and it was. It's been wild. It's been wild for all of us, I think, you know. And today, Chauvin was convicted. I mean, well, the verdict came down. He was guilty of manslaughter, murder 2, and murder 3. I don't think there's a lot of people that expected that verdict. And I know that it's very splitting right now in. Even the liberty movement, it's very splitting. Some mm-hmm. people are saying, you know, well, he didn't deserve that. George Floyd died of a drug overdose. And some people are saying, no, man, you can't sit on somebody's neck for 9 minutes. I mean, we all saw the video, right? As someone who has breathing issues and terrible anxiety, it'd probably kill me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, right.
Drugs or no drugs. So where do you stand on that? I know you're not a big fan of the police. I know that. And
no, that's an understatement.
where have you been this whole year, man? What have you been up to? You know, where's your head been?
So like, if I can mention, like, talk about the split a little bit, right? So on one hand, you have that he died, you know, he had drugs in his system. And then on the other hand, you know, the cop had his neck or his knee on his neck. Right. So, with the drugs, it's like I'll concede that they probably did not help the situation. But you also have to remember that even if a person is in a debilitated state, whether from a natural health condition or from drugs, and then a person, you know, adds to that, that can still be considered murder, right? Like if someone has some heart disease and then you punch them or something, or you do something to them. And then they die from a heart attack from that. That's generally some degree of murder. You know what I mean? So I do think that is. I do think it can reasonably be said to be murder. Right now, the question is, would he have died naturally without the cop on his neck? I think that's something we might never know. Right? Sure. You know what I mean? It's just up to conjecture. But I definitely, I'm not gonna. I'm certainly not going to defend the cop in any sense.
Yeah, and as libertarians, we probably shouldn't be defending police who constantly trample our rights every single day.
That's right.
So we're getting a ton of super chats here, man. I love it. I'm glad we got some super chats. A lot of fun. Nick Ashley says, "Love you, Josh. Tell Ace I love him too, please." Thank you.
Oh,
Nick
I love
Ashley.
You, Nick.
Let's see. Hiking and Such says, "Tell Ace to drink his water." I've seen that quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll drink the water. Fine. You guys got me. I'll drink the water.
Are you not
drinking?
Stop. I'm wondering.
No, I am.
I'm wondering
I am. It's just a joke.
So I've been getting a lot of people upset about the super chats and notifications on the show. Can you guys tell me, are you hearing these chats? If you are, let me know. I'll continue to try to mute them. I don't know why they're still happening, but let's see. We got some more here. Clint Griffith says, "Here's some more money to spite Richie." Yes. I love it. Cotton says, "I gave you $7 when you had Bert on, so
oh
you better
God.
Read this. Please tell Ace I said hi. Slurp gang, fire Jay. Jay's wrong." What's this Jay
yes.
thing about?
So Jay's my co-host, Peaceful_Slave, and we do not condone anything he says on the show.
Is he the
we
Jew?
Do not.
Is
he just walked into the studio one day, and he won't leave, and we don't condone anything he says, and we're trying to fire him, but you know how, you know, it's just contract issues. We can't get him. We can't get him out of the studio. Please send help.
Is he the Jewish one?
Yes.
Oh, man, you guys are trying to get rid of the Jew? Really? You know how bad that's going to look for optics, bud?
I know. That's why it's just been such a struggle. You just can't, you know, you can't get him out.
You know, you guys could probably employ Archie, and he'd probably help you out. He seems to hate us Jewish people, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he could probably build a case. It'll take him a year or two, but he could
maybe
probably
we'll
build
try
a
to get
case.
him on the show and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Almighty Beach says, finally you got them sticker donos. Oh, cool. Almighty Beach is one of the biggest supporters of the show, man. He's really, really cool. So I saw another big one come through. Let's see. I think, the next backyard party for Chauvin will be in the prison shower. How do you feel about that, Ace?
No comment.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, man. Here's the thing with Chauvin, he's going to jail. He ain't going to general population. They're not going to put a cop in general population.
Yeah, no.
And I guarantee you that most of the guards in prison are going to be like, you know what I mean? They're not going to be,
right.
Upset with him. And so,
yeah, there'll be some class solidarity there.
Yeah. Okay. Someone is saying that I wonder how I can turn that off. Let's see. Give me one second here, guys. Sorry. Let me see what I can do. We're having audio still, and they're not very happy with it. I'm trying to figure it out, I swear. General settings. Oh, boy. Everybody's like, they can still hear it. And it is intrusive. It really is. So maybe I gotta.
Oh, is it like reading them out?
Yeah, like reads them out on the screen.
Oh, okay,
it makes
yeah.
a ton of noise. So I'm just going to turn them off, all of them. And then I will read them as they come out so the sound doesn't become intrusive. Hopefully everybody's okay with that. Let me make sure. Yeah, I mean, I have it muted and everything. So, but I have legitimately been getting like a lot of comments about it being intrusive to the show. I think when I was interviewing Hotep Jesus, I got like 20 of them in a row, and then people were like, "I can't even hear what's going on." So, but we'll figure it out. I'll call Nick Ashley after the show. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you think that Derek Chauvin got what he deserved, right? In the Joker sense of the term, right?
Yeah, in the sense that, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go out of my way and defend the guy, right? You know what I mean? Like, in my world, you know, I don't really think like prisons in general would be such a huge thing. So I'm not going to like say, oh yeah, you know, I'm glad he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. But it's like, you know, within this system, he certainly, you know, it turnabouts fair play, not in like a moral sense, but, you know, in the sense that if we apply their standards to cops, then yeah, he did get, you know, what he deserved.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mostly agree with that. And I talked about this with Julie on the way home from work today, because it's a big deal. I was watching the live stream of the verdict while I was at work, you know, and I knew something told me like he's going to be convicted. And, you know, how much of that was because jurors were basically fearing for their life?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much, like, I know, wasn't there something where they were trying to dox the jurors in some sense? Like, not into their names, but, like, what they looked like and stuff like that. I saw some reporter trying to do that.
It was like a health and safety journalist who,
right.
like, basically doxed gave a whole profile on each juror, but didn't put their names in there. It's like...
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, and this is like, so, like, Kyle Rittenhouse, right? Like, he had a legal defense fund. And an EMT, was it in Arizona? An EMT, somehow hacked this list and got this list of donors that had donated his legal defense. And this EMT or paramedic donated $10 to his legal defense fund. And the journalist showed up at his house on camera showing everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're journalists like that are just not good people.
True. I agree. They're still popping up on the screen, man. I wonder if they can tell me if you guys can hear that other one. And just let me know. But Almighty Beach says, what is Ace's diet to have the stamina to argue with neocons?
Oh, so all I eat is Doritos and Mountain Dew. And that's how I'm up for so long.
God,
and sometimes I'll just, you know, crash and I'll be out for a day. When you guys don't see me on Twitter, it's because I've slept for 24 hours. I do that for you guys because I care.
you're on your Dorito and Mountain Dew come down?
Yeah. I just crash after a while.
Jeez. Oh man, we're gonna have to fix this thing. They are still hearing the
sound. No.
And I'm like, literally, I don't even know what to do anymore. I I don't know. I don't know what to do. Sorry, guys. I got all the event sounds muted. I have the alert box muted. I have all the alert boxes like completely unclicked. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you guys. That's pretty funny.
Just, you can interrupt me whenever there's a super chat and I can continue on afterwards.
Yeah, I'll try to mute the output and see what happens. But yeah, it's pretty silly, man. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good idea. So this week we've seen a lot of new parody accounts come out, right? We got mm-hmm. Fat Dave Smith, we got Neocon Scott Horton. They need another one that is Tech Savvy Joshua Smith. Grandpa Josh. But I'm actually a grandpa, Teresa. You know that? And so I am actually a 38-year-old grandfather. So, but so who would you say is your favorite neocon?
Oh God. Well, John McCain, because he's dead.
Oh Jesus! Something tells me that we're not going to be able to monetize this video, Ace.
I'm so sorry.
It doesn't matter, buddy. Yeah, someone was saying who was it? I think that was the most. So I have the Discord chat for my show, and like one of the most asked questions was if you could live as any neocon for a week, who would it be?
Oh God. I don't even. Oh, this is hard. I don't even know what I would get at. Like, which one would be more beneficial? I hate not answering because I always feel like that's a cop out, but I'm really like struggling here to even imagine which one I think would be better in any like in just some, you know, fractional benefit. I don't know. I'll pick one at random. Megan McCain.
Oh jeez.
Let's just go with Megan McCain.
You're gonna have to live with that sadness for the rest of your life that you just picked that. You know that, right?
I know. Yes, I intentionally picked like the worst possible option because I was running out of. I couldn't pick an option, so I just picked the worst one.
So we're just getting blown up right now with new subscribers, dude. Like blown up. It's
insane. Awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
I don't even know what to do. I don't even.
Hi, friends.
Top Lobster says donating because I like the sound. So, what about Ben Shapiro, man? How do you feel about Ben Shapiro?
Oh God. I feel like if you're going to be a neocon, you might as well just go all the way, you know, instead of just tap dancing around it. It's like with Ben Shapiro, it's like, you know, he's just, nah.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. I think it's because he called himself a libertarian in the past that I actually have more distaste for him than, well, a normal neocon. Because a normal neocon's at least honest.
Can you explain diagonal unity to the masses from Almighty Beach?
Sure, absolutely. So diagonal unity is the belief that bottom right libertarians, right, the bottom right quadrant of the political spectrum, and the top left, which are the tankies, the actual Marxist-Leninist communists, actually are more closely aligned than previously thought, right? So the thing about, like, let's say the conservatives and ANCOMs or left libertarians, what do they have in common? They're both generally very impotent at what they do, right, politically speaking. Conservatives are just, you know, window dressing for people who want to, you know, vote right wing but never get anything done. And the left libertarians in general are also that way, right? So the right libertarians and the, you know, left authoritarians in some sense are actually in some sense hate the same people that bottom right libertarians do. And they also are in some sense more willing to, you know, it's more of a thing about they're more willing to fight for what they believe in, whereas conservatives are not, right? So it's you know, there's multiple ways you could look at diagonal unity. It's not completely it's not 100% serious, but it's more of like, you know, look, these people actually care for what they believe in. They're willing to fight for what they believe in. You know, it's like that old saying, well, at least the communists believe in something.
Sure, because we know right. the top right definitely doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah, and they'll roll over for the cops when they come and take their guns away.
Yeah, I keep talking about this on my show. Like, the right wants to bolster the police state, but the police are the ones who are going to put them up against the wall. And the left wants to defund the police state, but they need them to enforce all the laws and taxes and stuff that they want to impose on the people. So, I mean,
it's like when conservatives say come and take it, they mean it genuinely. Come and take my guns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 It's like not a dare. It's like, yeah, come on, man. Come on over.
Yeah. Just here you go.
Well, they're not coming for my damn guns, man.
Oh, yeah.
I lost them all in a freak boating accident, right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
It's happened all the time.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate.
It's very common. It's a very common thing for sure.
Yeah.
I think I got the chats turned off. I don't know. So, because we got another one that says, this is for the McCain poop fest. And apparently Meghan McCain is very thick. So at least you got that going for you.
Oh, there we go.
Let's see. Somebody else asked me a question. I want to get all the questions out of the way and then we can
absolutely
move on to whatever else. Let's see. Oh, I already asked that one. Who's your favorite neocon? Oh, here we go. Why are you on my show? Don't you have some boomer cons to abuse somewhere?
Unfortunately, not so much anymore. They kind of just fell to the wayside. I kind of miss them. They were fun. I enjoyed them.
Well, man, those guys were going at me for a little bit too, especially Kevin Cassidy. He's like, debate me, bro. Debate me, bro. I was like, why do you want to debate me? All my friends already debated you and spanked you. And one trolled you so hard that you're a living meme for the rest of your life.
Right.
Legitimately.
Exactly. Like once Popo debated you, like you can't go, you can't really top that. So it's everything is downhill from there. So you might as well just sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's really these guys, and it's almost like I feel like they have to be somewhat trolling. I mean, the things they talk about, you feel like it can't be real that people are so.
Yeah.
And he's Canadian, which is hilarious. Right.
You're Canadian. Yeah, it's funny. I don't think, yeah, I wish they were trolling. In fact, that's what I thought when I first encountered them. I thought, okay, these people, there's no way that they're being 100% serious here. And then I found out they actually had a YouTube channel that they post on pretty regularly. And then, you know, I realized that, oh my God, my worst fears were realized, where it's like, these people actually are true believers and they're neocons under 30 years old.
Right.
Right. That's terrifying to me in some sense.
Yeah. It's like,
but also funny.
Well, and he keeps calling it like the Renaissance, like the neocon or Warhawk Renaissance or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
What does that even mean? It just means they're trying to revive like the remnant of neocons. Like, what are you going to, you're going to dig John McCain up or something?
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's crazy. It was like just a complete like hit from left field when I encountered him. It was pretty wild. I did not expect those people to actually exist, and they did.
And well, there's quite a few of them too. I think that page that YouTube has like what 1,000 subscribers or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's just like it's some of the most blackpilling shit.
But see, it's blackpilling until you watch and then you think, oh yeah, it's not blackpilling because there's no way we can lose to these people. Right.
Right. Right.
Right. So it's like,
Bert says, how does it feel to lose him?
How does it feel to lose him?
Yeah.
Oh, Bert, no, don't say those things.
Well, if you watched the Neocon Remover Bert Grimm show that I had, he did say that he denounces the Slurp Gang. What's going on there? What's the rift about?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I think we've he has a thing about gangs. He doesn't like gangs, you know. So it's just I can understand. You know, it's a respectful disagreement. Let's say.
Sure. Sure. Hey. So. Yeah. So we got some more questions in the chat. With all of your interactions, have you ever gotten a DM from a Change Mind? That's from the last individual.
Yes. Yes, I have. In fact, I've gotten multiple. I think I've gotten around like 10 or 12. And that's like whenever I get those, it's incredibly comforting to me. And it's incredibly like humbling because it's like, wow, I actually did, you know, change someone's mind by being stupid on the internet. Right.
Sure. Sure.
That's always great. So yeah, I have, and it's been great.
Well, so like in 2016, me and a bunch of my friends, we started something called the Libertarian Troll Mercenaries, and it was like a private group on Facebook, great. right? And we would do, so we would essentially, this was leading up to the 2016 election with Hillary and Donald Trump. So it was like, there was nothing else to do but troll, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it was like, I was working on the Gary Johnson campaign, by the way, but it was like, no way I'm going to be a part of this shit, you know? And so we would actually go into like Trump groups and Hillary groups on Facebook. I don't remember. I'm sure you guys all remember how absolutely insane that election was. I mean, people were just as at each other's throats as they are during COVID right now. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? And so we would go into these groups and troll them so hard. I mean, oh man, we would like, so you know how you can edit posts, right? So we would like, you know, do something stupid like, you know, give us a hell yeah if you love Jesus or whatever, you know? And and we just get like, you know, thousands of hell yeahs. And then we'd edit to say something like, you know, if you enjoy making love to barnyard animals or something. And it was like, and then everybody would get mad. We'd get kicked out of groups all the time. But it legitimately, we'd get in these conversations in the comments with people. And I'd have people start messaging me all pissed off, you know. And I'd be like, hey, man, just check this out. Why don't you read this book? And I one of my favorite books to give normies is The Road to Serfdom, right? It's an easy read. It really breaks down the dangers. No matter how you feel about F.A. Hayek, whether you think he was a great this or a great that, it broke down the dangers of central planning, right? Pretty digestible, easy to read way. And so I would get people to read that book all the time. I'd be like, give me whatever book you have. I'll read it. And you read whatever book, you know, and it worked, man.
Right.
It legitimately worked. I had tons of people switch over. They'd start coming to the Gary Johnson groups, talking about the Libertarian Party. And I'm like, man, trolling for liberty is a real thing.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence?
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
Yeah, it actually, it really does work. And it also, it's being confident in your position enough to like argue and debate, I think also makes people like onlookers, you know, interested in what you're saying, right? It's like, that's one of my criticisms with some of like the people in the LP is that, like some of the like old guard, let's say in the LP, where it's just like, I just don't feel like they have that passion or they really feel it, you know, enough to actually, you know, stick by their principles and debate them authoritatively. Not to use that word in a political context, but you know, just their ethos.
Sure. I got another super chat. Ace already said this. This person must have came in late, but Opie effing Taylor says, how does Ace feel about John McCain?
I won't say what I said again, just because I want to hold out hope that this channel does not get demonetized or this episode does not get demonetized. But rewind, when you watch this back later, rewind and you'll hear my thoughts on John McCain.
Let's see. Oh, someone wants to know how you became an anarchist. And I was going to ask you how you became so, you know, vehemently anti-war. Obviously, I have my own story where I went to war and became anti-war. Once I realized that, you know, we were fighting in Iraq and I joined right after 9/11 and I'm going, gotta go take out the Taliban or whatever the hell it was that attacked my countrymen. And then I'm, you know, helping to fuel aircraft that's dropping millions of tons of ordnance on Baghdad. And I'm going, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here? You know, so I want to know how you became an anarchist, but I also want to know what made you so vehemently anti-war. Usually there's something that helps you get there. So,
So I started out as a Republican, but through when I was growing up, through watching Fox News, I found this man by the name of Judge Andrew Napolitano on Fox News. And I really, really loved what he had to say. And I really liked how he was saying things that no one else essentially was at the time. And that actually led me to like Ron Paul, Tom Woods, and through Tom Woods, once you hit Tom Woods, you get this like cornucopia of knowledge where you can just, you know, branch off into all these different places like Rothbard, Mises, Hayek, you know, and you can just go through that phase. And it's like, And I also, you know, this delves right into the anti-war question, which is I first heard Scott Horton on Tom Woods' show. And I was like, wow, I could not believe anything this man was saying. And it was all correct. Sure. Right. It was absolutely wild. And I'm as anti-war as I am, not just because I was always anti-war and this went after I became a libertarian, but I was vehemently so anti-war when I was introduced to Scott Horton. And he's like a hero of mine. I owe most of what I know and believe to Scott.
Sure. And I got to tell you, man, you're quickly rising in the ranks. You're on par with Scott Horton to me these days.
I'm sorry, but I have to push back. There's no one is on par with Scott Horton.
You're getting there, man. But you're like a different aspect of the anti-war movement. You literally argue with people and troll them until they come to your point of view. Scott is just a veritable dictionary or what encyclopedia of what's going on in the Middle East, especially. I mean, no normal person can ever just break out and be like, let me tell you about this and that and this and that and this country and that country. It's like, whoa, dude, you should teach, legitimately be teaching this in a class somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Scott's a treasure.
Oh, he's an amazing, amazing man. It's like, so when I interviewed him on my show recently, we did like an hour and 20 minutes. It was one of my longest shows. And I turned off the camera, or I turned off the stream, and then we talked for another hour and a half right after the stream.
Right.
But man, that would be a good show, you and Scott together. That'd be amazing.
Oh, I would. I would like. That would be insane. To actually meet Scott. That would be crazy.
Have you not met Scott before in person?
No, I've never met him in person or on like a show.
Oh man, we're gonna have to rectify that. I don't even know where you live. I don't think anybody knows anything about you, Ace. We just know that you're anti-war.
Yeah, I live in Maine at the moment.
Oh, you're up there with the lobsters.
That's right, yes.
Does Jordan Peterson do a lot of visiting there? Or?
I don't know.
I just, you know, he's the guy who's constantly talking about
lobsters. Yeah, the lobster.
But I don't know, man. Scott's an amazing guy. And
he's so good.
But, you know, I had a similar story. It just took me to going to war to open up to the same people, you know? And then Ron Paul, obviously, I worked on Ron Paul's campaign in 2008, and he actually endorsed me for chairman of the Libertarian Party last year, which was the absolute highlight.
That's awesome.
I mean, outside of my family stuff, like my kids being born and you know, having a fiance and you know, it was probably right up there with one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. I mean,
yeah, an endorsement from Ron Paul, that's something you just never forget.
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, in an intra-party race, I mean, he had never even done that before, you know? I mean, you know, over the years since he left the party after running for president in 88, he had endorsed some candidates, you know, I think it was 2018, he endorsed Murray Sabrin for U.S. Senate in New Jersey. Good friend of his. I don't know if you guys don't know who Murray Sabrin is, look him up. He's amazing. He literally can explain the Federal Reserve better than anyone you've ever met. But he had never done an intra-party race like that. So that was, I don't know, man. I feel like
that's
big shit.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah.
Obviously we talked a little bit about Tom Woods and Scott Horton and stuff, but who are some of your favorite philosophers that you read while you were coming up?
Of anarchism? Well, Rothbard is definitely right there, right? Rothbard. And then Lysander Spooner, Benjamin Tucker. Emma Goldman is actually a really great one. She was an anarcho-communist, but she has a lot of really interesting stuff to say, and I think other libertarians could actually get a lot out of her work. Voltairine de Cleyre, she's a great one. Just even anarchists, you know, you don't necessarily agree with like Bakunin. I think it's important to like, you know, branch out and read something.
Yeah, I enjoyed reading Bakunin and Proudhon and stuff like that too. I'm pretty, you know, what people would consider a right anarchist, anarcho-capitalist, whatever you want to call it. I just say anarchism these days because I gotta tell some of you ANCAPs, man, you've made it hard to call myself an ANCAP to normal people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Love you to death, but Jesus, calm down.
Right.
But I've read a lot of that stuff too. And I actually wrote a paper on this when I was still with Think Liberty called Why Philosophy Matters. Because if you're going to argue your philosophy against someone else's philosophy, it usually helps to understand that philosophy.
But I noticed
on Twitter, you just call yourself a market anarchist.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, like, if you were, you know, like a Murray Rothbard anarchist, or if you were a Proudhon, like mutualist, or, you know, because a lot of mutualists call themselves market anarchists. So.
Right, right. I just call myself market anarchist because I'm not a big fan of the term capitalism in discourse, because I think it, like, usually obscures, like, language, like, philosophically speaking. I think it obscures a lot of language. I'm definitely more on the Rothbard. I'm definitely more closer to Rothbard than Proudhon. But yeah, that's just essentially why I don't call myself an ANCAP.
Yeah, it's hard these days, man. I love your ANCAPs, dude. I love how, like, you know, I love how philosophically consistent they stay, but it's like, let's not argue about some of this shit, okay? It's you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Right.
A lot of people in the chat saying Ace is the reason I'm an anarchist, dude's an inspiration.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
That was Stephen A. Nick Miller says Ace is my Lysander Spooner.
Oh my god. Okay, you guys need to stop. Thank you. I appreciate that. But you guys, that's thank you. Thank
you're,
you. That's that means
it,
a lot.
I'm telling you, you know, you're. What do you got, like 7,000 followers on Twitter now? I think when I first started following you, you were like, what, 1,200 or something?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
You moved up fast, man. People appreciate the work you're doing. You know, I certainly do as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad other people appreciate it. I'm glad they can, you know, get some type of benefit out of it.
Sure, sure. So were you a fan of Konkin at all and agorism?
Oh yeah, Konkin. I forgot to mention Konkin. Yeah, I'm a fan of Konkin. I definitely think agorism is definitely something more people should take seriously. It's not the only strategy. Like, I'm against the idea that, you know, there's just one strategy and we need to just adhere to it to, you know, achieve liberty. But agorism, I think, is definitely a way to achieve liberty, and it's a way to live out anarchism in your own life at any moment, right? Yeah. So I think it in some sense prepares you for an anarchist lifestyle. In some sense, is, you know, to act as an agorist.
Sure, yeah, and I agree. I think, you know, agorism is one of the philosophies that I believe helps turn leftists more libertarian.
That's right, because they're more on the activist side of things, and that activism sort of appeals to them in the sense of agorism, right? Actually doing actions rather than just, you know, because it's focused on strategy. So, and I think a lot of leftists are much more focused on, you know, strategy and activism than they are many other things. So that's why it appeals to them so much.
Sure, and I think at one point Murray and Konkin were pretty good friends.
And they had some disagreements, but they were good friends on other things.
Sure,
yeah.
Definitely before Murray got old and started trying to do the paleo redneck, what do they call it, the redneck strategy or whatever, where they were trying to reach out to
the paleo strategy.
Yeah, and they were trying to reach out to the disaffected right in the country that was just fed up with the way the Republican Party had gone. But prior to that, a lot of people don't know, Murray Rothbard was heavy on reaching out to the left.
Oh yeah, he was reaching out to Maoists to help end the Vietnam War, right? So he like, this is the thing, right? You don't have to like Murray Rothbard reaching out to paleos, but I think you also be fair and also criticize him when he also reaches out to Maoists, you know. So if you don't like him, you know, allying with these other groups, that's fine. But I think people should be more consistent in their criticisms of it.
Sure. No. Yeah, I definitely get it, and you know that. Obviously, you know, when he came to God, what was that one of the last papers that Murray wrote where that everyone always, you know, makes all.
Oh, I don't know the name. I don't remember the name of it, but it's the one with David Duke, right, where he talks about how he's congratulating David Duke on how he's anti-war. He's opposed to the war. And so I don't remember the name of it. That's going to bug me, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember either, man. I don't know. I read a ton of Rothbard, and I have.
I'm terrible with names like that, like book names and like articles. And it's like I can remember like almost everything said in the article, but the name will always just escape me.
Nice. We got another super chat that said Lysander Spooner from the town.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a big fan of Spooner too. You know, I talk a lot about this. I work in the political realm, obviously. You know, I sit on the Libertarian National Committee as an at-large representative for the party. I've ran for chair twice, once against Nick Suckwark, and once against was gonna be Nick, and then he realized that he was losing support, so he dropped out and put his little boy Joe Bishop Hinchman in there, and then I lost by like 100 votes or something, and there's still some speculation on what actually happened. But I get that a lot of people are super anti-political system, and some people would even say that I'm not an anarchist because I work inside that, but I believe that's just another tool of achieving closer to anarchism or getting closer, because so many people in this country legitimize the political system already that it's like we have to find a way to red pill them. So where do you stand on the political system and libertarian, you know, dorky, nerdy libertarians like me who work with the party?
Well, I certainly don't think there's anything against, like, philosophically against anarchism by doing that. I don't think you're wrong as an anarchist for doing that. For example, like, if you join, like, if there's a mafia, right, and you join the mafia with the exact, agenda to shut it down or sabotage it from the inside, which is essentially what you know, the good political people are trying to do, then there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like with Ron Paul. Ron Paul voted no on practically every single thing that came across his desk. And that was, you know, perfectly justified from an anarchist perspective. So, you know, you can always debate, like, well, is this going to be the most fruitful strategy or not? Or, you know, could we be doing other strategies too? But there's nothing, in my view, immoral about that. Like, you know, engaging within the system to sabotage it. That's perfectly fine.
Sure. And I agree. And then it's, you know, why before I went in that little rant, I brought up Lysander Spooner, who was who was in favor of voting defensively against tyranny, and but I still take a very Spooner approach to the Constitution and stuff, you know.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think that the Constitution is essentially a failed piece of paper that has done nothing whatsoever to stop the government that we see before us today,
right.
You know,
it's a gun-free zone sign for conservatives.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah. They're going the speed limit, man, you know.
That's right.
Jeez. So who's some of your favorite podcasters, and why is it not me? But, you know, don't say me. No. Nobody say me.
I haven't listened to a huge amount of podcasts recently. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts. I still listen to, like, Tom Woods and all that, Scott Horton show. I listen to Dave Smith's from time to time. Mostly the Timeline Earth guys, those guys are hilarious. If you're not listening to their podcast, shout out to them. They have a huge backlog of some of the funniest bits you've ever heard in podcasting. So definitely check those guys out.
Yeah, I didn't know who they were, man. They used to have the Friends Against Government podcast.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize it was the same people until recently, but
they had some union issues and they had to rebrand.
Oh, that sucks. I went on Friends Against Government like a couple years ago, and I was like, man, these guys are so cool. Is it just Bird now? Is Carr still there too?
Yeah, Carr's still there. Aaron's there. Yeah, so it's the whole gang. They also have their own shows now too. So they have their main setup, and then they have their own shows on Fridays, which is good.
Nice.
So those guys are hilarious. Everyone should go check those guys out. And also, Not a Podcast with El Popo and Neocon Remover, also fantastic.
Yeah, that one's you better bring your tissues and don't cry too much, you know what I mean?
That's right.
I've listened to Not a Podcast when I was getting ready to have Neocon Remover on. I listened to Not a Podcast a few times and I was like, "Oh man, this shit is hilarious." And you can always hear Bert's dog in every episode pretty much. And then we got to hear Bert's dog on my episode with Neocon Remover. I was like, "All right, cool. Bringing the podcast home. I like it."
Yeah. Oh, and Pete Quinonez's show, Free Man Against the Wall. I that slipped my mind, but that's one I listen to a lot too.
Sure. Yeah, I saw Pete getting into it with some of the blue pill losers today. And they're calling him anti-Semitic and God, what else were they calling him? They say he was in support of the police.
I had some left libertarian try to say I was in support of the police too, because I said who knows what will happen with the appeals. They might try to get him off or something, and they construed that to say that I want the cop to get off.
Oh, of
right?
course.
It's insane.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how they'll completely assign your motives to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like, I want you guys to go do me a favor. Go watch a little documentary called The Monopoly of Violence. Okay.
Yes.
Pete is literally like one of the producers of that movie. And it is all about the violence of the state and how it needs to be knocked the hell out. And, it'd be really hard to watch that and then argue that he's for police brutality.
Right.
And then,
yeah, no, that's just insane.
And the same with you. I mean,
his very first episode was on the cops, talking about how terrible the cops are. His very first episode.
Like if you follow, it's always like that with these guys too, like with Dave and Tom. It's like, if you would just listen to them, You know?
Right.
Like, you'd understand that everything you're saying makes you look dumb because we all listen to them.
Right. Like, and even, you know, even if I were to step into the shoes of a libertarian and I was to be, like, really charitable to them, even if you don't like, you know, the style of, like, what they say, these people want the state to end. They want the worst parts of the state. They want all the state gone, but that includes, like, the worst part, right? That includes war, the war on drugs, the prison system. All these things, you know, they want gone, too. So it seems like you agree with much more of the most important issues than you disagree. So at the very least, you'd think that, well, they would at least, you know, from their perspective, get the devil their due, right? You know what I mean? So it's like they should at least say that, oh yeah, you know, we agree on like 98% of things. So I don't really understand why they have to, you know, go after, you know, aesthetic semantic issues.
Sure, yeah. And that's, I mean, it's purposely designed that way. So I actually have a story when I was running for chair. It was the second time. You know, if you guys have ever heard of the group Fakertarians, it's kind of just evolved into a shit on me and Dave Smith and Tom Woods group. I mean, that's really what it is, unfortunately. And Pete too. I guess they shit on Pete a lot. But you know, I was in that group, and in fact, I was one of the founders of that group, initially. Oh. before it became what it was. It was initially supposed to go after like neocons and shit.
Right.
And this was back, you know, when we had started the Libertarian Troll Mercenaries, like way back when, and then we started Dankertarians, which devolved into a dumpster fire, and then we became Think Liberty and left all the people behind as we moved on. But Fakertarians, there's this guy in there calling me all kinds of names, saying that I was a white supremacist and all this stuff. And so, I finally reached out to him. I'm like, why don't we have a phone call, man? You know what I mean? Why don't we have a phone call and you can ask me what I believe in? We can talk,
right.
We can talk about policies. You can ask me what policies you think I hold, and I'll tell you what I believe truly and honestly over the phone. And so he called me and we had an hour long conversation. I told him I don't support police brutality. I told him I think that as long as a law exists, everybody should be equal in the eyes of the law. When the law doesn't exist, a lot of people will be much happier. I told him that, you know, I'm a free immigration guy. I told him that, I believe that the war on drugs needs to be ended and that, you know, people setting in prison for victimless crimes should be released and, all this stuff. And he's like, man, it's crazy. I really thought that you were going to, say all these things that I didn't agree with, but I agree with most of them, but I don't think anarchism's a good idea, because he was like a blue pilled, you know, like losertarian or whatever you want to call him.
Right.
and so I was like, yeah, man, this is, you know, we hold a lot of the same policy views, man. You know what I mean? Almost everything, except that I want to end the state and you don't want to end the state all the way. So like, you know, there's really no reason to continue talking about these things all the time. And he's like, yeah, I got it. And within 2 days he was back in there talking shit about me again.
Oh God,
it's despicable. And it's not about, you know, it's for them, people like us, it's not about our policies. It's that they don't like us. They don't like that we're becoming, because we message libertarianism so well, because we are good at bringing people to our side. It's like a jealousy thing. It's gotta be.
Mm. Yeah, it might be part of that. Yeah, that's crazy though, how they just, you know, go behind your back like that and just right after the phone call. That's wild.
Oh yeah, and that's, you know, it's not the first time that's happened to me either. I mean, there's people who know me on a personal level that have gone and done that, and I'm like, you know better than that, you know, like completely better than that. So what I'm saying to you is, as your platform grows, Ace, you prepare yourself for these people.
Right. Yeah. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's like, they should at least, you know, even let's give them the best case scenario, right? Let's say that, you know, they just don't like us and that they won't get along. At the very least, you'd think that, you know, okay, at the very, under anarchism, they don't have to associate with us, right? So they should at least agree that, you know, the state is the most important enemy here, and that's got to go first. And afterwards, if you don't want to associate with us or don't like us, that's perfectly fine, right? We wish you the best. Right. Yeah. But trying to tear down the people who are trying to fight the enemy that you say you want to fight, that's just despicable.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's so funny because we have the same end goals, right? I mean, maybe not end goals, but we close. I mean, we used to explain it like, you know, we're on a bus ride and towards anarchism, and everyone's going to get off at the last couple of stops. I mean, that's really, you know what I mean? That's where we're headed. We're all headed in the same direction, but they use their time, instead of attacking the state, attacking other libertarians because they don't agree with one issue or two issues or three issues. You know what I mean? And it's pretty despicable, definitely. Someone said like Richie and Archie. No, those cases are a little different. Not Archie so much. That's how Archie is, but Richie's a whole different category of shitbag. I mean,
he used to follow me and then he blocked me when he did that whole stupid thing about how he'd choose a race or he'd choose, what is it, a warmonger over a racist for president?
Yeah, no, would you rather have a president who has racist views but doesn't enact any of his racist views through policy, or would you rather have a war hawk that wants to, that continues to kill people overseas? And he's like, 100% the war hawk. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's, I'm sorry. I don't think, like, I hate to gatekeep like this, but I don't think you can call yourself a libertarian and still hold that position. Like, that's insane, right? It might be different if you were to say that, well, the racist is enacting his policies through the state. Okay, you might, you know, we can debate that, right? But to say that, well, no, some guy just has bad views and you choose the person who's murdering children in foreign countries? Are you insane?
Yeah. It's got to be, yeah. I mean, and I've talked about this a lot. I think there's three issues that need to be gatekeeped when it comes to libertarianism. Yes, and war is at the very top of that list.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. For me, it's war and cops. That's like, that's no debate on this. Those are my two things that I'll just like, okay, we can, you know, squabble with the little stuff, but you know, the cops and the war, that's just non-negotiable.
Well, mine might be a little different. So the cops, the war is number one for me.
War is number one.
Criminal justice in general.
That's what I mean by cops. Sorry, I was being a little too.
Know. I'm all good with defunding the cops. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that's what you want to do, do it. I'm going to protect my home, whatever. But since I know that's probably not going to happen in every jurisdiction around the country, I would like those cops that do exist to stop arresting people who have committed victimless crimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then the Federal Reserve. I think that's a really important issue. That you know, they're inflating our dollar. I mean, completely devaluing our purchasing power left and right.
In the last 100 years, the dollar has lost 97% of its value in the last 100 years. What the Federal Reserve has done has just been criminal. Like, like, if you want to look at like poverty. Poverty, like the amount of poverty that exists in this country, exists due to the Federal Reserve. From what they've done to the dollar, they've lowered that. Like, people's standards, people's standards of living are raising, but they could be so much better than what they are if they had just, you know, not existed in the first place.
Right, right. No, I definitely, I get it, man. And it, you know, it's just, it's one of those issues that I think, you know, some people have told me that when it comes to the Federal Reserve, people just don't understand what it's about, and so it's hard to message to them. But it's really easy. This is the place that prints all the money that devalues your purchasing power and sets interest rates.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah. Right. That, like, that's the easy part. Explaining to people like all the knock on like first, second, third, fourth, fifth order effects that happen from it, that's a little difficult. But the actual argument against the Federal Reserve is quite easy.
Yeah. Like, stop printing money, assholes. Stop it. Like, that's, you know, I would like my dollar to be worth something. But at this point, I mean, it's we're moving on. I mean, we're moving on from the dollar. Right? 100%.
Yeah, this.
Crypto mass adoption is coming.
For sure.
And more people. I have normies hit me up about it all the time. And especially my fiance's sister just hit me up last night. She sends me a message and says, hey, this is Julia, you know, your favorite Julia's sister or whatever. Hey, what were the cryptos you were talking about at mm-hmm. Easter, and which one should we invest in? And I'm like, she's like, we're thinking about putting some money into Dogecoin. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Like, because tomorrow, you know, or today was supposed to be this like big day for Doge, 420 or whatever.
Yeah.
It dropped. I mean, it really dropped. And the problem with Doge, what a lot of these younger people that are investing a bunch of money into it right now don't understand, is that one person holds over 30% of the coins.
Right.
At any time, they could take it from 37 cents and drop it to a cent immediately. You know, and so, you know, that's cool.
I do think with crypto in general, with like things like Bitcoin, right? This is actually a great argument for anarchism in general, is because, you know, we don't need to get everyone aligned like philosophically with the anarchist principles to be to like, you know, to achieve our goal of anarchism. We just need people's incentives aligned to where their self-interest leads them to, like, anarchistic options, right? Like Bitcoin or decentralized currency. We just need to show people that, hey, this is actually in your best interest. And if we can convince people of that, that will happen naturally.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I agree. I think, you know, I talked about what show was I on where I talked about, or maybe it was the debate I did with Larkin Rose a couple weeks ago, but everybody can do a different thing, man. You know what I mean? And we can all, it's like a asymmetrical warfare, right? Do everything, yes. Everything you can in your power to roll back the state. That includes crypto 100% in my, and you know, I'm not a big Bitcoin maximalist. Like, a lot of people attack me on my Twitter because they're like, hey, why are you, you know, promoting these shit coins? I'm like, dude, I tell everybody, always buy Bitcoin first. Keep 50% or more of what you're investing into crypto should be in Bitcoin. I mean, that's a store of value, you know, and that's eventually probably going to become the money that you use to buy things. But you can make money off of other tokens, and there's good use cases for some, and some have really good tech that they're behind. Like, you know, I've been really into Anchor lately. They're trying to create a decentralized cloud storage. You know, do you know how big that is?
Right. Yeah, my rule is I don't criticize anyone as long as they're, you know, not tearing down other people in the progress of what they're doing. You know, I'm all for exactly what you said. Just let 1,000 flowers bloom. Just let, you know, just cast the net as wide as possible and just let people do their own thing. And we'll have a free market of options in strategies to defeat the state, right? That's the ultimate goal. Like, we'll see which ones work and which ones don't. So I don't think there's, like, yeah, some strategies will fail. They won't do as well as others. But that's good that we know which ones do and don't work, right? Sure. So that way we can learn in the future. So that's why it's important to have as many strategies as possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's just more fronts fighting the same war. And
yeah.
I mean, we are, you know, essentially those people are at war with us, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But unfortunately they have a huge army behind them of completely ignorant people that listen to whatever they say all the time, and that's probably the hardest part to break, you know what I mean?
For sure.
I don't think there's ever been a time in my 38 years that I have seen it more obvious than COVID times, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I do think a little bit of a white pill here, though, is that more people are waking up exponentially, right? So we obviously don't have a majority. If we had a majority, things would be a lot easier. But more people exponentially are waking up than they were before. So this is an optimistic point. It's a place for hope. Like, I know people can overfocus on, like, COVID and stuff like that and how bad people are acting. But we also have to imagine that, like on Twitter, right, we're obviously more aware of it. And I'm not saying that it's not been worse. Obviously, I think with more people with social media, these types of things can spread faster. So people wearing masks, the idea that, you know, the narrative can change quickly because of social media. And we definitely see that. But there's also a lot of people who are just not going along with the masks and who are waking up to the charade. And I think that's great.
Sure. Yeah. And I think over the last year, there's been a lot of conservatives that have gotten red-pilled on police,
yes,
and the wars and elections.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like a cool thing to watch, you know. I mean, they still have some bad habits, and those are things we can work on down the road. But the fact that conservatives are, I mean, it's not a huge majority of them or anything, but it's a part of them are getting red pilled on, you know.
Each person that becomes an anarchist is a win, no matter what.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Totally.
So it's like, yeah, I think that's how you have to view it always. So it's like, okay, this person, or at least even if they're on their way to anarchism, even if they're not there yet, that's still a win. If you can pull a conservative or a liberal out of their shell and, like, at least get them to follow you, at least to some degree, that's huge. That's absolutely huge.
Yeah. Well, I'm still going to always push for the national divorce, I think.
Oh yes. No. I agree with that. Absolutely.
I talked about it. Oh yeah. Well, great. I talked about it on my Twitter the other day or yesterday. I said, I don't think that there's any way to peacefully coexist with people who want to use the state to enforce medical experiments on me. And I believe that. I don't know that going forward, there's a way to peacefully coexist with people like that. Now, if they, you know, drop that and say, oh, I was wrong, that was stupid. Okay, maybe. But how many people do you think are going to drop that? I mean, when we got people wearing six masks and, you know, getting this experimental stuff pumped into them. And
secession is the obvious answer that everyone ignores, right? It's like, if you truly think that these people are your enemy and that there's just like no way, like I'm talking about left or right, right? Go from either perspective. If you think the left or the right is just the enemy and there's no way you can ever like work peacefully with these people, why would you want to be locked into the same polity with them, right? You wouldn't. It's like, would you rather have a bad next door neighbor or a bad roommate type thing? You know what I mean? So obviously secession is the most obvious solution to all these problems. It's like you split up, and if you still have problems once you split up, you just keep splitting up. Right. And ultimately, the whole idea of anarchism is that each person is their own country. So it's the ultimate end goal of the secessionist movement is anarchism. Sure. So it's 100% one of my favorite strategies.
Well, and I even think, you know, that even if we could just get rid of the federal government.
Oh, right. Sure.
You know, we'd still have the opportunity to vote with our feet. You know, if Florida's saying
it would certainly be much better. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but if you start throwing around the word secession too much, man. You're a racist.
I've been called a neo-Confederate many times on Twitter because of it.
It just blows my mind. You're like, yeah. Nah, dude, like I'm not a Confederate. I don't want slaves, man. I just want everyone to be free.
And my favorite, what infuriates me is when conservatives will pull this, how secession is un-American. America would not exist without secession. So don't try to say that secession is un-American when it's literally the founding of America was throwing out a foreign government and seceding from them and instituting a new state.
Yeah, we told the British that we wanted better dental care, and so we took off, man.
That's right. You know. Yeah.
And we weren't gonna pay their tea tax. Get the hell out. We literally went to war with the people who governed over us over tea tax.
Yeah, it was like a 3% tea tax.
Tea tax. Yeah. And now we're like, yeah, pump whatever you want in our bodies, man. Yeah, sure. Locks in our house. Yeah, sure. But let's put face diapers on, man. Cool. Whatever you need from us, totally cool. But we went to war over a 3% tea tax.
Yeah, I always think it's funny because it's like if the American Revolution took place in America today, they would be considered terrorists, right?
Insurrectionists.
Yeah, insurrectionists and terrorists. And most people would be in favor of the cops going and, getting these people and locking them up, if not executing them.
Sure. I agree, yeah. Man. Well, hey, Ace, we're right at the end of this thing, man. Why don't you tell all these wonderful... Man, I'm a huge fan of yours, dude. I'm just going to tell you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm a fan of yours.
I appreciate it. I love you to death, dude. I would definitely have you on the show again. Several people in the chat, including my mother, are asking, when the hell you're going to get a camera. Everyone wants to see your face.
I will be getting a camera probably in the next month or so.
Okay, so next time Ace comes on and Break the Cycle, you will have video.
I will have video. Yeah.
And for those who aren't aware, I offered to send Ace a camera.
You did. You were very charitable.
Legitimately, I was like, I got an extra webcam, or I can order one off Amazon for like $35. I'm just going to send him one. But he's in the middle of moving, and so, you know, we don't...
I'll tell you what, I will not use the camera until the next time I'm on your show, so you can get the my first like face reveal.
Yes, that's what I want. That's what I wanted. I told him, I was like, I want to be the first podcast to have Ace face on. Ace Face, and that's what we're going to call it. That's going to be the name of the episode, yeah. Ace Face.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I just appreciate the hell out of you, man. I really do. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you at and follow you at?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at @ace_archist if you want to see me like quote tweeting and getting into a bunch of arguments I probably shouldn't. And then you can also check out the podcast I co-host with my co-host Slurp Gang. It's a comedic podcast we talked about in the beginning. We might delve in the whole theme of the show is that there is no like theme of it. So like one day it might be comedic, the other day we might be talking about a serious topic. And if that's what you're into, check it out.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely check it out. Definitely do yourself the favor and follow @ace_archist on Twitter. It's one of my favorite follows on the whole site. I promise you will not be disappointed. Ace, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for inviting me. This was great.
Yep, you too, man. All right, another episode in the books.
All right. All right, that was great.
I am a huge fan of Ace, and you guys should definitely follow him. Let's see what we got on the docket. Tomorrow, I got my good friend Josh and Lane coming on from Soul Repairs. Josh Smith is actually my name twin. If you watch the credits at the end of the show, it's going to be a really cool show. This show may not have happened without him. He was one of the first big donors to the show to help get this thing going. I'm very excited to have him and his partner on. It's going to be awesome. Friday, the always amazing, wonderful Michael Bolden will be on the show talking about nullification, no doubt. He is from the 10th Amendment Center. If you don't follow him, he's amazing. I may be doing that show on the road. I have to speak at the Missouri State Convention on Saturday at 2 p.m. In Columbia, Missouri. So if you guys are in the area, you want to come and say hi and have a glass of bourbon and watch me speak in person. You know, I'll be a bumbling idiot. I always am. I get a little nervous in person, but definitely I'd love to see you guys if you're around that area. And then next week we have Reed Coverdale, Andrew Cooperrider, who is the man that I believe is being fined by the state of Kentucky for opening his coffee bar. Dave Casey from Dave and Goliath, wonderful, amazing, one of the best meme artists you'll ever see. And then Friday, the great Phil Labonte, the singer from All That Remains, also hardcore libertarian, has a great Twitch channel. If you haven't followed him there, we'll talk a lot about it. Thank you to my mother for saying I love you in a super chat. That's awesome. Check out lorenzotti.coffee for all of your delicious Italian coffee needs delivered directly to your door. Of course, toplobster.com. He's the man. Go there. Use BTC at checkout for both the coffee and your awesome graphic hoodies and tees, like this great fuck around and find out one. You will get a 10% discount. Anthemplanning.com for all of your emergency and crisis planning needs. They're amazing. Executive producer of the show, Delaware Mises Caucus people. We had Amy Lepore on the show last week. She's amazing. Please check them out. Yeah, that's all I got for you. I will see you tomorrow, though. I promise. And that show's going to be cool. Even if you don't know who Josh and Lane are, we're going to have some cool things to talk about. I might be nervous for that one, too. Who knows? But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just spent it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just spent it in Minecraft. Lord Chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless there's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. No product, it just gets it close to COVID.